Good morning, everyone. I'm joined by Todd Zwillick down in Washington, D.C., and we're trying to unravel the mystery all week long of genius in America and everywhere. It's not just a gift that sort of lands, and that's the end of it. It's actually something that can be nurtured. It's something that has interesting dynamics. And Todd, you're a genius, right?
Yeah, I wish.
Yeah,
thanks, John.
A genius in radio. He aspires to be a genius in radio. That's why we have him co-hosting the show for the poor Celeste Headlee, who's home with the takeaway virus that has been just bringing everybody down over the last several weeks. I actually had it last week. But it doesn't matter if you're a genius or not. If you're an African-American or Hispanic contractor, you have not benefited from the stimulus money proportionately to the rest of the contractors in America. My next two guests are all about this issue and what it means for communities around the nation. Laura Barrett is the executive director of the Transportation Equity Network. She says that while Black and Latino communities have been harder hit by the recession, they are receiving proportionately fewer of the stimulus project contracts doled out by the government. And also returning is Richard Copeland in Minneapolis. He's the founder and CEO of Thor Construction Companies, the nation's largest African-American-owned construction company. Good morning to you, Richard and Laura.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, you know, I'm a little naive here, Richard. I would have thought that in federal contracts, in the public sector, that there would be all kinds of preferences and sort of maybe not affirmative action, but sort of minority-owned preferences that would have helped companies like you, but you say the stimulus package has not worked that way at all.
Well, of course, no, it has not worked that way because the money doesn't trickle down to the economy like it should, especially in the federal money has been earmarked for highway departments across this country, and the good old boy network is alive and well in those institutions.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that. Laura Barrett, does the concept of shovel ready become an excuse to go with one contractor over another and favor what Richard is calling the old boy network?
Yeah, I think that basically highway departments had gotten together their wish list before we started having seen the money spent. And it included a lot of projects that were in the exurbs. It included old boy networks and contractors that had been their favorites for years. And it also included highway projects versus transit projects.
Uh-huh.
So there's a whole bunch of problems with it that ignored the huge need in our communities to start to get folks back to work and actually lift up some of the minority contractors, some of the women contractors, some of the Latino contractors who are out there who really need these contracts. And, you know, Obama came into office, he was talking about change. We have not seen a change. We've just seen a reinforcement of the old patterns that were already out there.
So what you're seeing is a case of an emergency causes people to throw maybe some of these more socially progressive ideas out the window and say it's too much of an emergency right now. We can't be bothering with these sorts of things. Is that sort of the idea?
Yeah, but it also was this huge opportunity to really try to do things differently, and there was not enough thought put into that in the beginning. You see Secretary La Hood making some motions around that now, sending out a letter to the state governors recommending unbundling the contracts, setting aside $20 million in subsidies, more money in short-term loans and grants, which is great, and we congratulate Secretary La Hood on doing that. But we've really got to think about this stuff before it gets out on the road, and if we're going to include folks from the communities, minority and women contractors, as well as making sure that most of the work hours go to low-income people and minorities, we have to put some thoughtfulness in the beginning. In Missouri, there was a huge highway project that was going right through the city of St. Louis through many minority neighborhoods. Activists from MCU, Metropolitan Congregations United, and many minority contractors in the area got together and decided, let's take advantage of this opportunity. They formed a table, formed a campaign, got some demands in front of MoDOT, which included 30% of the work hours being set aside for low-income people.
MoDOT is Missouri Department of Transportation?
Exactly.
All right.
And the whole project worked. It was just completed in December. Almost 27% of the work hours went to low-income people, raised up quite a few people in our area, people in even advanced a journeyman status through the carrying out of this project. And also the community was intricately involved in the whole thing from day one.
Well,
we are still monitoring the project.
That's a great story, and we should point out the Transportation Equity Network that Laura Barrett is the executive director of is calling for complete and publicly accessible demographic information on all contracts and jobs financed by the stimulus. Richard Copeland at Thor Construction Company in Minneapolis, what do you want to do as a contract that you've been unable to do because this money has sort of sailed over your head?
Well, we'd like Laura's saying, we need access to the dollars. We've got to get them into our communities, or our communities are starved out and further polarized and excommunicated from the mainstream of this economy. So we need enforcement of the goals and the laws that are on the books currently, and some thought into what's going on before the money's doled out.
But are you seeing specifically a project that you'd love to get your hands on that has actually gone somewhere else during this period?
None of the money went to vertical construction. It all went to horizontal construction. And so minority contractors thrive in vertical construction.
What does that mean exactly? Just explain it as clearly.
Buildings versus civil work.
I see. All right. Well, then, you know, both of you are talking about what a lot of people have criticized the stimulus for, not having a lot of really big ideas. Do you think it's possible at this stage in the game, Richard Copeland, to generate a kind of community-based orientation to the distribution of stimulus money? Or is that a state-by-state kind of issue that certain states are going to be able to do it? Missouri's had some success. Could Minneapolis come into this game late?
Well, you know, we are trying. We are trying a grassroots approach to make some systemic change to what's happening, but it might be too little too late.
And, hey, well, go ahead, Todd.
Well, Laura Burnett, this is Todd Zwillick. I just wanted to ask a quick question. You know, Congress is busy scrambling trying to undo years of discrimination against black farmers who were shut out from subsidies to white farmers. 15 years down the road, could we see similar lawsuits from minority-owned construction companies because of the stimulus?
I think that that's certainly a possibility. I think that what we've really got to do now is half the money has been let. There's still another half to go. Secretary LaHood seems to be paying attention to this now. We've got to make sure that we really change things at this point, start keeping careful track of the data. Where is where are the contracts actually going? Who's actually working? What are the number of work hours they're working? That kind of stuff can be done
Greater sensitivity to demographics and the handing out of stimulus money, and what Laura Barrett and Richard Copeland are both talking about, a maybe greater vision in targeting stimulus money to benefit particular communities, low-income communities affected by the recession. Laura Barrett, Executive Director of the Transportation Equity Network. Richard Copeland, Founder and CEO of Thor Construction Company. Thanks to you both.
Bye now.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.